In June of 1925, Dayton, Tennessee, nestled in the foothills of the Cumberlands, was a sleepy, obscure little town of 5,000. But by mid-July, it was a gaudy midway of lemonade stands, souvenir hawkers, telegraph sending stations, and had swollen to three times its normal size. It all revolved about a new state law, which outlawed the teaching of evolution.
Be it enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Tennessee that it shall be unlawful to teach any theory that denies the story of the divine creation of man, and to teach instead that man has descended from a lower order of animals.
Scopes himself was quite secondary to the trial. A rather personable young schoolteacher, he purposely created the issue by lecturing to his class on evolution. The stage was set. Scopes was arrested, indicted, and brought to trial. Then to Dayton came the two real protagonists. To prosecute, elder statesman, three-time presidential candidate, William Jennings Bryan.
I am here to protect the word of God from the greatest atheist and agnostic in the United States.
For the defense, the highly successful criminal lawyer, Clarence Darrow.
If today you can take a thing like evolution and make it a crime to teach in the public schools, then at the next session you may ban books and newspapers. Soon you may set Catholic against Protestant, and then Protestant against Protestant.
Bryan believed it was strictly a battle between religion and atheism. Darrow insisted it was a fight between a literal translation of the Bible and a common sense one. There were many supporters from all faiths on both sides. The climax occurred when the defense called Bryan himself to be a witness.
Now, Mr. Bryan, let me ask you if you take the Bible literally. For example, do you really believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale?
Yes, I believe that. But it was a fish, not a whale.
Was this a mine run of fish or made specially for the purpose?
I am not prepared to say.
Well, do you think that the Lord purposefully made a fish big enough to swallow Jonah?
I do. One miracle is just as easy to believe as another. A God who can make a whale can make a man and make both do what he pleases.
The tiny courtroom, bursting with the press and spectators, sweltered in the impartial heat. And finally the judge moved the trial out on the shaded lawn, where Bryan and Darrow, in shirt sleeves and galluses, continued their duel.
Mr. Bryan, do you believe literally the story of Eve?
I do.
And the story of the temptation of Eve by the serpent?
Yes.
And that God made the serpent crawl on his belly for eternity because of his participation in the temptation?
That is my belief.
And how, sir, do you suppose that the snake got along before that?
Your Honor, may I say that the only reason Mr. Darrow has in being here is to slur at the Bible. I want the world to know that this man, who does not believe in a God, is trying to use a court in Tennessee...
I object to that, Your Honor.
...to slur at the Bible.
I object to your statement. I'm examining you on your fool ideas that no intelligent Christian on earth believes. What is the jury?
Scopes was found guilty and fined $100, which the Baltimore Sun paid. It was a humiliating final hour for the great commoner. In less than a week, he died. Dempsey had fought them all. Willard, Firpo, Carpentier. Now in the ring of the Sesquicentennial Stadium in Philadelphia, Father Time and a master boxer named Tunney had caught up with the perfect fighting machine, which was William Harrison Dempsey. As he stood there in the warm rain, his face battered, swollen, and purple, he met fame halfway and for the first time gave his followers something to love him for.
Tunney, I guess I just forgot to duck.
A year later, Dempsey crawled into the ring for the return match with the new champion. It was Dempsey's last fight, Tex Rickard's biggest gate, and $1 million purse for Tunney.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience. This is Graham McNamee speaking from NBC.
most people remember Graham McNamee's description of that famous seventh round.
Coming out there, leading up. He comes into Tunney with both hands. Uh-oh, doesn't do any depth. As they come out of the clinch, Tunney's right catches Dempsey on the face. And Tunney shoots a hard left to Dempsey. Gene follows that up with more left to Jack Shaw. And Dempsey comes back with a hard right to Tunney's face. Gene felt that, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Dempsey comes on through with a terrific right. He's got Tunney against the ropes. There's another right landing on the champion's jaw. A barrage of left and right, and Tunney is down! Tunney is down! Dempsey comes from the other side of him. The referee has not yet begun to count. He has not. 9, 5, 6, 7. Dempsey's waiting for him. 8. Tunney's up. Tunney's up on 9. The fight's continuing. Tunney's back in the way. He's backpedaling. He looks a little groggy. Dempsey's coming in, trying to get to him. But he's backpedaling. He drives a long left.
Dempsey, with victory only seconds away, neglected to go to a neutral corner. The referee, in delaying the count, gave Tunney 4 revitalizing seconds. Tunney managed to stay on his feet, wore his panting pursuer to a frazzle, outboxed him, and at the final bell remained the heavyweight champion of the world.